Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair.
Hello and welcome back to Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair. My name is Hadna Tesfai. I am your host, and today we're going to tap into our traumas. We're going to talk about hair loss. When too much is too much. And here to talk and guide us through this really complicated and hurtful and painful issue is Henkel's scientist lead when it comes to all things scalp. Please welcome Leila Berisch. Hi, Leila.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, all good. And I'm pretty honored to be able to talk about this topic today.
And listen, hair loss is something really painful.
Yeah.
Right. But also, it's really hard to pin down because we all go through moments where we kind of go like, wait, is this still okay? And when you're convinced something's wrong and then you realize, whoa, well, no, actually, this is all right. And sometimes we realize too late that we have been losing hair and more than we should have been losing. And then you just kind of like look at the ponytail and go like, oh, this is sad. So we're going to get into it, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about how much is actually normal. What can we expect to lose on a regular basis? And why do we sometimes feel when we like wash and shampoo and condition and that it's a lot more on those days?
I think we can start with the hair follicle cycle, like the hair cycle itself, because the hair follicle, which are growing out the hair fiber, have a cycle, and that cycle is asynchronous. Otherwise, we would be bald every 6 years. So 6 years is the phase of growth, which we call anagen. Then you would have the phase that we call catagen, where the hair follicle regresses. And it's there for about 3 to 4 weeks. And then finally, you have the telogen phase where, so to say, the hair follicle just snap. It's snapping until the exogen phase where the hair will be shed out of the hair follicle while another hair is actually growing out from there. So this is how a normal cycle goes. And when we are talking about hair shedding, you should see around 50 to 100 hairs shedding a day because, again, hair follicles are asynchronous,
Which so means that's normal. Which means that not every hair is in the same, you know, stage of its life.
No, yeah. And that's quite interesting with human because it's really asynchronous compared to bears, for instance, right? They would go during winter and, you know, just snap and they will also shed a lot. But it's quite different for humans.
So that's why we have some hair falling out while other follicles are kind of still like pushing out the hair and growing it, and others are just holding on. So you never go fully bald.
Unless something goes wrong with the system.
Right. Okay. And we're going to get into that in a second. So the shampoo day illusion, what does that mean? Because sometimes, you know, especially as curly girls, right? We don't brush our hair or comb our hair every day. So come shampoo day, I really have to tell myself every wash day, no, this is okay.
Yeah.
Because why?
Yeah, exactly. So as I said, normally you should lose between 50 or 100 hairs. And when you wash, if you do it like every 2 days or something like that, you'd see that when applying some force with your comb, you'd see some hair shedding. But then with curly hair, you would wash your hair every, I don't know, 5 to 6 days. And that is then a lot of hairs which were already shedding, but they are kind of stuck in the mass. And so when you shampoo and you start to comb, because we're only combing under the shower.
Then with conditioner on.
Yeah, and when it's wet. Then you see a bunch of hair and you're like, oh my God, am I losing my hair? But then you just get adjusted to it with time and you just understand that it's normal.
So this is not the hair that I lost in one day. It's actually the hair that I lost since I last combed my hair brushed my hair, which might have been like 5-6 days ago.
Exactly. It's like cumulative shedding that comes out all of the sudden when you shower or when you shampoo.
But yeah. still, like, it does feel shocking.
I know.
Right?
I know it does. Yeah. Sometimes I don't have time to wash my hair, like, every 2 days. Mm-hmm. So I do it after like 5 or 7 days and I'm like, oh my God, what is that? And then I'm like, yeah, Leila, remember you didn't wash your hair for like a couple of days. So it's just normal. But yeah, it's quite shocking because you have this huge mass in your comb mm-hmm. and just like, oh my God, am I losing my hair?
And you go like this, you?
Huh? Yeah.
Exactly. Is it still all there? Yeah. Can you go check?
Yeah. But then it dries out and you see the mass that's still there. So
you're like, okay. Phew.
Yeah.
But sometimes mm-hmm. we shed more.
Yeah.
And that has various reasons, right? What are the most common reasons for an increase mm-hmm. in hair shedding?
There is this thing that we call seasonal shedding. Mm-hmm. And probably most of the listener or the one who are watching will relate to that. So between August and then September, this is the time where you're going to see an increase in hair shedding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's scientifically proven that at that time, you're going to have more hair shedding than usual.
August and September.
Yeah, mm-hmm. August to September. And that's quite known. And that is because there is a switch in daylight mm-hmm. happening at the time. And that switch in daylight is also having a bit of impact on hormones. And hormones are quite important for the hair follicle to cycle. Mm-hmm. And there is quite an interesting study that's then more about the hair fiber itself and how it changes. And they showed that during summer, the hair becomes thicker and more rougher.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's done through a method called tonsite testing.
Okay.
And when you are able to see that through mechanics of hair, that means that there is really something biologically that has changed.
So should I be able, on a longer strand of hair, mm-hmm. should I be able, if I like kind of like go across it and it's like sometimes thinner, sometimes thicker, should I be able to feel it? Or is the difference so tiny that you can actually only see it if you have like special tools? Mm-hmm.
That's a great question, because we have like specific devices that are able to kind of see the tiny changes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you look at your hair, like just one hair, you would see that it's not homogeneous.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, like the shape of it or also the thickness of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that has to do with seasonal changes or any kind of changes in the any kind follicle.
Yeah, exactly. Any kind of changes. That could be hormonal, that could be seasonal changes, that could be like so many things. Also stress, the way... is your diet, if it has changed, and so on. So, yeah, there are like so many things that can impact hair growth and the hair in the end. Yeah.
So we have a seasonal shedding, and then you mentioned hormones. We also have hormonal shedding, right? And that happens when?
That happens, for instance, when you are stressed, if we are talking mm-hmm. about daily occurrence. Mm-hmm. When you are stressed for a very long period of time, which we would call chronic stress, mm-hmm. then you have a hormone that's secreted, which is cortisol. Mm-hmm. And cortisol has a down pathway that it activates, and it activates inflammation. And this can also disrupt the hair cycle and so hair growth. And most of the time, after a traumatic, stressful event, or when it's chronic, mm-hmm. 3 to 6 months later, you'd see that you would have an increase in hair shedding.
Wow. So it comes with a delay.
Yeah.
Oh. It doesn't happen instantly. It comes with a delay.
Exactly. Yeah. It comes with the delay. Because, you know, I said that the anagen phase, or the growth phase, ranges from 6 to 7 years. And so it takes time for the hair to go from anagen to then the telogen phase and then exogen, where the hair is shed. Mm-hmm. So I would say that in the end, hair, like the shedding of hair takes time, but it's also a sort of like barometer of your health. Mm-hmm. You know, when it sheds a lot, you should be worried.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, if you were talking about non-stress related hormonal changes, which we're going to get into in a second, then I'm like, oh Yeah, that was really hard. But I want to stick to the cortisol level. So cortisol levels do change or do have an impact on shedding.
Yeah.
Right? And what about other, like, I don't want to call them lifestyle related issues, mm-hmm. but, you know, stress is one. What about like partying, smoking, you know, like not living the most healthy lifestyle?
Yeah, such as resting, for mm-hmm. instance. Like okay. when we talk about like, yeah, you're talking about smoking and probably like things that are a bit detrimental for the health. Mm-hmm. And of course, like it hasn't been shown directly that it has an impact, but it would have one, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Okay. And talking about, for instance, sleep and fatigue, we know that during the day you always have this peak of cortisol early in the morning, and then it lowers down and it picks up again whenever you have lunch or dinner. And then during the evening you would have melatonin, mm-hmm. which is there to make sure that all of your cells are kind of cleaned, mm-hmm. so to say. Mm-hmm. And this is a very important process because this is also happening within the hair follicle. And if you don't sleep properly for a long period of time, you're probably going to see shedding.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Yeah, you have to sleep, guys. I need to sleep as well. I'm telling you.
Oh my God. So there's no scrolling through social media. If you want to have beautiful hair, sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Yeah. But sleep is so great for you. It's so healthy.
Yeah, it is. It is. There is loads of things that are happening.
Leila, talk to me about the most common types of hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the most common type of hair loss you would have androgenic alopecia, that I would say, mm-hmm. Which is, and then you have male pattern hair loss inside and then female pattern hair loss. Mm-hmm. You'd have menopause associated hair loss. Mm-hmm. You would have stress related hair loss or mm-hmm. hair shedding. And then you would also have the postpartum kind of hair loss. And then among that, you would also, or beside that, you would also have alopecia areata, mm-hmm. where, for instance, the hair follicle human privilege is totally disrupted. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about that in detail, but that means that the anagen phase is not going well at all, or is quite short. And you also have things like scarring alopecia, mm-hmm. Which is also human system disruption related.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go through them one by one. The first that you mentioned was androgenic hair loss. What does that mean?
Androgenic hair loss. So it's mostly present in men, I would say. Mm-hmm. And this is this whole thing with testosterone. And testosterone is a male represented hormone, but it's also present in women.
Yeah.
And what happens is that testosterone is broken down into dihydrotestosterone. Mm-hmm. And this molecule goes into the androgen receptors, which are within the nucleus of cells. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that these receptors are expressed by the center for growth of hair.
Okay.
And when it goes there, the anagen phase goes faster.
Okay.
And the hair sheds, you know, faster than usual. And with time, the hair becomes, instead of terminal, so very thick, mm-hmm. it becomes very thin. Mm-hmm. This is what we call vellus. Mm-hmm. And then to a certain extent, you're going to experience some pattern baldness, mainly starting, you know, from the front here. And then you're going to see this M shape. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to diffuse in the back of the head. And then you're going to end up with a crown.
Okay. So that means it starts around here.
Yeah.
Sometimes around here. And it can, but it always, it kind of like moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Back.
It recedes, like the hairline recedes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is this, the male pattern hair loss that you mentioned?
Yeah.
What's the difference to the female pattern hair loss that you also mentioned?
Mm-mm. So the female pattern hair loss is quite different because, first of all, when you are going, when you check into the literature, there is no direct link that has been done with the androgen receptors. Mm-hmm. And the pattern is different in terms of the loss, because you would see that the parting we contain less hair, right? First, it's going to go thinner, and then you're going to see some holes, and then the pattern hair loss is going to be diffused all around the scalp.
Okay, so it's not like you don't go from like having this M shape, then kind of like the receding hairline, and then this is not what that is.
No, it's not what that is with women.
It's more diffused. You can't really pin it down, and you just kind of like just start a thinning all over.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a thinning. I mean, in the parting, it becomes quite obvious somehow.
Here in the middle of the hair,
Yeah, you can see the scalp at some point. So, and it's really... receding like that. And the hair becomes more thinner. And for instance, if you make a ponytail and you have female pattern hair loss, you'd see that the ponytail is less bouncy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there it's just thinner as well.
Exactly. Right. It's less voluminous.
Okay. Okay. So this is the thing, but this doesn't happen overnight, right? This is like a slow process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a very slow process. And just to portray it, all of the male in my family are bald. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my brother started to lose his hair when he was around 16 already.
Oh, no.
Yeah. When he hit 18, it was like having this very wide M kind of hair loss shape. And then at the age of 25, it was like bald. He just had like the crown
left.
And that was quite, the crown left. And that was quite traumatic for him because he used to spend hours and hours, in the bathroom styling his hair because he had like curly hair and stuff. And then suddenly,
all gone.
Yeah.
Oh my. I mean, within 8-9 years?
Yeah. So he started to lose it when he was 16, and then 20 by 25, it was
all gone.
Yeah.
That is harsh.
Yeah.
That is really harsh.
Yeah. But at the same time, he was quite expecting it because the male in my family were mostly bald.
Mm-hmm. So chances is if you have this kind of hair loss in your family, if you look around, look at your aunts, look at your uncles, look at your grandparents, chances it's going to hit you as well are kind of there.
Yeah, if it's kind of coming from the mother side, that's quite interesting because I have cousins, guys. They have, like, their mom is not from the family, so to say. Yeah, they got married with my uncle. And these guys, they still have their hair and they're now 25.
Oh, wow.
And they have beautiful one, actually.
And your uncle?
He's bald. Is bald.
Oh.
But then he got married with my aunt, who's not from the family. And they got like child.
So it's passed down from the mother's side.
Yeah, I think so. And in the literature, it also says so.
Oh. Women, I guess we're responsible. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, guys. Mm. okay, so that's that. It's a slow process, and I mean we're gonna go into what you can actually do about that, right? But then there's something that you mentioned where I kind of like in my head went like, check, experience that. And this is hair loss around postpartum, and then like once that, I'd say like 3 months hit, 3-4 months hit, it starts falling out in bulk.
Yeah.
And it's like horrific. But walk me through that. What happens there?
Mm-hmm. So what happens during pregnancy, and I think that's quite interesting, is that all the 100 hairs that are supposed to shed do not.
Mm.
They are kind of maintained in this anagen phase, so the growth phase, which is kind of not normal. And that has to do with hormone balance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you give birth, there is a disbalance in hormone. I mean, the hormonal environment, so to say, is changing.
Right.
Mainly estrogen and also like testosterone. And what happens is that the hair follicle has this boost, and then all the hair which we're supposed to shed during pregnancy are shedding within the 3 to 4 months, as you said.
Oh.
And then you're just like, am I experiencing hair loss right now? Like your ponytail becomes like, less bouncy and everything. And by a year, when the child, gets their first anniversary, you realize that your hair is back.
Yeah. Ish, I must say, for me. back-ish.
Yeah, back-ish.
Yeah, right. I mean, it took a lot longer, but it did come back. But I was like, oh, this is never going to come back. It was because what you're telling me now is that I don't lose hair during the 9 months of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Or less hair.
I
lose less hair.
Yeah. The one which were intelligen would shed, but the one which were in anagen would not shed.
They would not shed.
Exactly.
Intelligen phase is, again, it's a holding on phase, right?
Yeah, the resting, like the napping kind of
the
phase.
The napping phase. Yeah. So they fall out. But the ones that are growing, they don't fall out.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
And the ones that were supposed to go to this catagen and anagen phase, they're not going.
They're not going.
Because they're stuck into the growing phase. And usually you'd say, oh, my hair is like looking so nice. It's thicker during pregnancy and everything.
I look great.
You see?
My hair was like, my curls were bouncy. And then it comes hard. I had like, and for me, and I don't know, maybe tell me if this was kind of normal, but the most significant shedding that I had in postpartum was around my temple area.
Yeah.
It was like around here, the front, right? That was where it really hit me. And I remember seeing photos of myself kind of like going like, oh my God, I was bald. I was bald. I really was bald. That's how I felt. I wasn't, but obviously, but it was around here. So is it around here mostly around the temple and the front of the face, like the face frame that kind of like goes? Or is that just where I saw it most?
I think is that where you saw it most, because it can be a bit diffuse as well, because it's not only related to the front, right? Like a lot of overhair follicle around the skull or the scalp were already in anagen when you were pregnant. And so they also need to shed
as well
after pregnancy. Yeah.
But this is just the front is just where it's most noticeable to me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I can show. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that was horrible, because with the emotional change that comes with hormonal change and like this new phase in life, it was just like, it was horrible.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you know, now I'm saying that postpartum you lose hair because hair follicle was stuck in anagen, but what is not often said is that it's a whole change in lifestyle as well, because you don't sleep so much anymore. You are probably stressed because you just got a child or an infant and you don't know how to take care of it, because it's a big achievement, right?
It is.
And that has an impact also on hormones.
It does. And I kept on going like, did they really send me home with this newborn?
Yeah, see?
Do they know that I know nothing about this?
Yeah.
I have never done this.
Exactly. And
I was like, are you sure this is okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure I'm allowed to leave with this baby that I just gave birth to, but I don't know anything about it? So yeah, it's a very stressful
time
in life. Beautiful, but stressful.
Beautiful,
as well.
But stressful. And I think as a woman, you also think, okay, I can do that. I have to do that. So you put more pressure on yourself. And that has an impact also.
Okay, gotcha. And then something else happens in life as you grow older as a woman, where you experience another hormonal change. And this is also something that you touched on. It's this perimenopause, when that hits, another shift in hormones.
Yeah. So menopause and perimenopause, what's quite interesting is that nowadays there is a bit more interest about what is the cycle of menopause doing on skin and on hair, which wasn't the case before. So I'm quite happy of this advancement. And it is true that nothing happens overnight. And so a lot of changes are already happening perimenopause. That's 5 years before menopause. And it has been shown that, for instance, you would have a bit more of sebum production, but you would also start to experience hair thinning. And there was this huge study done on 373, if I remember correctly, women which were on perimenopause, and then another 370-something on women which were already in menopause stage. And the question was, did you see any changes on your scalp? Did you see any changes on your hair? And 50% of the perimenopausal women were saying, yes, my hair is thinning. So it's happening before. But we don't realize it, because with accumulation of it, we only realize it during menopause.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So in the process of losing it, you don't really notice. But then kind of like when you do notice, you have lost a lot of hair.
Yeah. It's thinning and hair is shedding like more.
More.
Yeah. And that's due to like also drops of hormones, mm-hmm. which would be then in this case, estrogen, estradiol, and testosterone. Mm-hmm. But that's also due to biological processes.
Okay.
Because aging is also there. And when you age, a lot of things are changing in terms of processes. And then the hair follicle does not create the same fiber as before.
But you know what? I think it's only fair that men, that's usually the time when men also start seeing hair loss. I was like, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fair then.
For once, it's fair.
For once, it's fair. You know, we all go through the same thing, more or less, mm-hmm. I must say. But you know what we're going to get into now is the what can we do about it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, no, to finish that off, you mentioned alopecia. You mentioned alopecia areata. Mm-hmm. And then there's also something called traction alopecia.
Yeah, traction alopecia.
It's uh-huh. also a thing, but alopecia areata, we're not going to go into that.
No.
Because that's is like a whole different thing and a whole different topic, right?
Exactly.
But traction alopecia, we can touch on. This is when you just like...
Yeah, we can definitely do it. And you know, to be like 100% transparent here, I've heard about it for the first time three years ago when I was at a conference. Mm-hmm. It was the multi-ethnic conference of hair for hair. And there I met trichologists and we started to talk about alopecia and so on. And they were like, hey, do you know about this kind of alopecia? And I was like, no, what is it? And it's traction alopecia, as you mm-hmm. mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that is the fact that you start to lose hair at the front because you're putting too much stress and force on your hair while braiding, for instance. Mm-hmm. And it's this kind of alopecia is often found into African communities, mm-hmm. whether it's like North African or South African, but also in Brazilian communities, actually, because of the braiding and so on.
Mm-hmm. So this is just pulling too much on the hair that you actually end up pulling it out.
Yeah.
And what does that do to the follicle if mm-hmm. that happens over, like, repeatedly?
Yeah. So I told you that a phase of growth should be 6 years.
Yeah.
And that also with aging, this whole process slows down.
Right.
And so there is a sort of like number of cycle to which the hair follicle can go on until it doesn't create hair anymore, so to say.
Yeah.
And while, you know, plucking the hair so much, you know, taking it out from your hair follicle while braiding, for instance, you are accelerating this endpoint.
Because you only get a specific number of times that the hair will kind of like regrow, the follicle will regrow the hair.
Exactly. So that's one thing. And then the other one could be that because the hair follicle should be in this anagen state for a long period, and it's not when you are pulling it out, probably there is like some sort of inflammation mm-hmm. you know, going on, mm-hmm. which would yield to the hair follicle becoming like shorter over time, mm-hmm. which would then yield to miniaturization of it and probably no hair growth anymore.
Okay, so we've talked about that. And now let's talk about what we can do about it. Because mm-hmm. this is also, you know, there is stuff that we can do about it, right? Mm-hmm. How can we regrow hair? Mm-hmm. And is that actually a thing? Are we really regrowing it? What are we doing?
Yeah, so I think there we have to be like fair mm-hmm. in saying that if it's like stress related, then there are kind of therapy for stress management, for instance.
Got it.
Yeah. If it's like change in hormone level, there are also things out there that you can be using to rebalance the hormone level.
Right. I think it's becoming more and more common for women to go on HRT, like hormone replacement therapy or stuff like that.
Yeah. But what's quite interesting is that when you stop HRT, you may see a lot of shedding happening.
Oh, no. As soon as you stop?
A few months later.
With a normal delay.
And this I didn't know. I was actually at a conference, like a trichologist conference. These guys are really interesting. And there was this trichologist and she had a patient who stopped hormone therapy treatment, and then suddenly her hair shed. And I asked a trichologist, so why is this happening? What do you think is happening behind? And she was saying probably the receptors, like the androgen receptors, mm-hmm. are saturated, which would be the reason why hair just sheds mm-hmm. a lot when you stop. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay. We went.
I'm like, okay.
Out of the road.
But the hormonal changes. I was like, I was going to end this on a positive note. No, because there's things we can do. Yeah.
Yeah. This is one thing. For sure, you would see hair growing. Yeah.
Right.
100%.
When you balance the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But this goes not only for like, you know, HRT, but this also goes for stress levels, like for cortisol levels. As soon as you bring those down,
mm-hmm.
right, the shedding will kind of
exactly
stop,
yeah.
Right?
And I would say also it's really important to look at your diet, because mm-hmm. if there is one thing I think we didn't mention was that when you switch diet, for instance, and you go to keto, mm-hmm. you know, the keto fasting, mm-hmm. I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Then you may see that after 3 to 6 months as well, you're going to have a lot of hair shedding. And the reason behind is that you don't have so much of glucose in your blood anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the hair follicle growth relies on glucose as well and glycogen. And if it's not there, it's not able to function properly.
Okay. Glucose sounds like sugar to
me. Yeah, guys, do not demonize sugar.
Yeah. We need sugar?
Yeah, we need sugar.
This podcast is getting better.
Yeah, you need sugar. You need carbs as well. I had this discussion with a friend this week.
Uh-huh.
She was saying, yeah, carbs is bad. And I was like, we need to stop demonizing carbs, because carbs, if it's not found in processed food, is really good for the body. Please, guys, eat carbs, but to a certain amount.
This is so good.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so radical diet changes, but also with that, what about vitamin deficiencies?
Yeah, good point. Vitamin mm-hmm. deficiencies. So you remember when we talked about seasonal hair loss?
Mm-hmm.
That also has to do with that, because when, you know, we go out of the summer, then you have decrease in vitamin D, and vitamin D has an impact on the center for growth.
Oh, yeah.
So vitamins are really important. Mm-hmm. Vitamin B12 as well, to not forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrients are really important.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you also have nice protein intake. That would really support your hair to regrow. And there is mm-hmm. a study that was published end of last year. And they had like, I think it was menopausal women experiencing telogen effluvium, which mm-hmm. is hair shedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they got into like nutrient and supplements. And it turned out that a lot of these women were able to see their hair regrowing. So nutrition, vitamin are really important.
Because, okay, I need to ask about this, because when you look at hair supplements,
mm-hmm.
right, most of them will give you the biotin, they will give you like for hair and nails, right? So can you just tell me, what does biotin really do for hair?
Yeah, so seeing what we also got in the lab, biotin is basically boosting your cells.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And making them able to like better work, so to say. And if they better work, they produce more energy. And if more energy is produced, then you can produce more hair.
Okay.
So to say, it's really vulgarized, right? But this is how I would explain it.
Right.
So I think biotin is also really important. And we do have that also in like product in the market.
Exactly, because I feel like whenever you sell something to people that is like hair related, it has some sort of biotin in it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is vitamin D and vitamin B
and
your protein intake as well. Okay, there it is. Protein.
Yeah,
again,
protein.
Just wait for
and sugars, guys.
And sugars. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is when it comes to diet. Like, you know, this is what you can take in,
mm-hmm.
what you can eat and put into your body to change your hair grow, right? Or the hair growth, let's put it this way. Or to support your body in your hair regrowth.
Phase.
But let's talk about products though, because there's so many products, so many topical products as well
mm-hmm.
that you can put on your hair. And I think the one that most people are familiar with is probably minoxidil, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what's the face? You're like,
Yeah, because I think minoxidil is a drug. Yeah. So we are then far from, to my... For me,
okay.
So we are more in the pharma kind of side, but now it's also, you know, in normal shop you can find it.
Because you can buy it over the counter. You can buy it for really cheap at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So minoxidil is working for some people. Mm-hmm. And it's usually when you have like androgenic alopecia that is working. Mm-hmm. And what it does is to kind of like widen the blood vessels. Mm-hmm. And blood vessels are really important for bringing, again, the nutrient to the hair follicle, for bringing the sugar, the vitamins, and so on. And that then supports follicle stimulation and then hair growth.
Okay, so this is how that works. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like... making, I don't know, this is going to sound stupid, right? It's not making your follicle bigger, or it's just increasing the blood flow towards your follicle, which then makes it work more efficiently.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
But you have to get on point with your diet then also.
Also, okay. Yeah. So why are you skeptical when it comes to minoxidil? Because I feel like I sense a little bit of a...
You know when we talked about women?
Yeah.
And then I said, yeah, there is no direct paper showing that androgen or testosterone is 100% the reason why there is hair loss. Mm-hmm. So when you look at minoxidil, there are people who are responding and people who are not responding to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would mean that it's not only about testosterone or blood supply or nutrient supply, that there is something else happening. Mm-hmm. And that could be hormone imbalance, as we spoke about. Mm-hmm. But you also have this finasteride, which then actually directly prevent this testosterone to be broken down into GHT. And then there you would also see that some would not respond and some are women.
Okay, wait. So walk back, because you just mentioned GHT or DHT?
GHT. So the testosterone is broken down into dehydrotestosterone, which is that you remember?
DHT, right?
Yeah, DHT.
Okay, so when minoxidil doesn't work for you, right? Mm-hmm. It could also be due to hormone imbalances, right? Then you have to go and look at that again.
Yeah.
And then you could try finasteride.
Yeah, if you think, if then the trigger is directly the testosterone being broken down into
DHT.
DHT, yeah.
Okay, got it.
So one is for that, then minoxidil is to improve the blood flow and to stimulate the center for growth.
Yeah. And do you take, minoxidil, I know you can take topically,
oral.
Or you can take it orally, but that's, I think, a bit complicated because then you might just grow hair everywhere.
Yeah, that's one of the side effects. Yeah, side effect. Somehow it grows everywhere but where you want.
Because that's the thing. I mean, if you're spending hundreds and thousands of, euros on laser hair removal, you might want to rethink. True. You might want to rethink taking minoxidil orally, because then you're like, might as well just burn your money. Mm-hmm. Okay. So expectation management, also really important. You might be one of those people that where this doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm. So, when we talk about expectation management, I would say that, you should not expect results, for instance, in a month or something.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if hair grows back, then it's going to take probably 3 months until you see it, because 3 centimeters, will grow out.
Yeah.
And then finally, probably you would see it. And then after 6 months, probably you'll be able to really see the mass, becoming a bit bigger. So, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And then also, Leila, we don't have any time to talk about this because there's so many. We haven't even gotten into like PRP therapy. We haven't gotten into red light therapy.
No.
Like, you know what? Because I've been thinking about getting one of those helmets, but anytime. So that just means you have to come back to talk to us again.
I have to, and I'll be so happy to go deeper into that.
Thank you so much,
thank
Leila.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, listen, I know it was a lot, but this is there is something that you can't do. But this episode was mainly for you to understand what is happening when you have been losing or you feel like you have been losing more here than is normal for you. And I hope we have given you some perspective. I hope that you understand what's happening on your head a little bit better. And I hope that we're going to see you sometime soon. Thank you so much for being with us. And Leila, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy to be here.
Thanks. Thanks.
Ciao.
And see you. And wir hören uns. Ciao.
Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair. With me, your host, Hadna Tesfai. A podcast from Henke Consumer Brands, brought to you by the Global Hair Upskilling Team, produced by Bose Park Productions. Executive producers, Manjana Dietrich, Sue Holder, and Chris Guse. Editor, Ian Mayer-Marzalek. Production, Fabio Lautenschläger. Project Management, Miki Sitsch. Hair and Makeup, Rania Abdurrahman, Ariel Tross. Styling, Romina Mann. If you like Gossip Curl, please subscribe to the podcast, hit the notification bell so you don't miss an episode. And while you're at it, leave us a review and tell all your friends about us.